One spring day, I was out in the front yard, and he came over quite rapidly, and he said, "Hey, when are your church services this weekend?" I thought, what is going on? And I told him, and they were very excited to join us because at their school, because they were so committed to being great teachers, they worked with a teacher's aide, and they loved this teacher's aide. She was almost like part of their family. She was a single mom with three kids, and we all know what income teacher's aides make. She would get her kids ready for school in the morning and drop them off at a neighbor's while she took two buses to school to do her job with our neighbors. And one day she came into their schoolroom, or their classes, and brought them together and said, "You're never going to believe what happened. But this church that I don't even go to found out my story and..."
We're getting ready to shoot this, and Nancy, just sit over here. Let's get her done.
Well,
that's a good prayer. Let's get her done. Yep. So everybody has a story. Every story matters immensely, more than you can imagine. That's one of the great lies of the evil one: is your story, your day, your choices, what you do with your time doesn't really matter all that much. Oh yeah, it does. But nobody gets the story they want. And part of why we're here on Earth is to help each other. Bear that burden, to help each other live with that reality. And there's a wonderful statement that Paul makes to the church at Rome. This is in Romans chapter 12. It's kind of a run of wonderful phrases. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. And then share with the Lord's people who are in need. And I suppose every parent tries to work with their kids on sharing, because you see with kids how much that's something we need to be trained in. But on autopilot, I don't tend to run that way. One of the things that really has always drawn me to you is you have a gift of generosity that is just kind of an internal switch. And so talk a little bit about, as we think about finding God in our stories, listening carefully to our lives and seeing where is God present. How do we find that? What's a story of finding that and sharing with other people that are in need?
So years ago, John and I were on staff at a very large church that had lots of vibrant ministries. But one of them was my personal favorite because it intersected with our lives very dearly. We lived in a little cul-de-sac just a couple of miles from the church and had neighbors on both sides, one of whom was a couple maybe 10 years older than us. They were both school teachers, childless by choice. They were very dedicated to their junior high teaching. And we would frequently, because we were on staff at a church, invite them to church
That's
with
what
us.
We do.
And they were not having it. Mm-hmm. The first time I mentioned John was going to be preaching, and they said, "You know, we've got finals coming up, got a lot of papers to grade, we can't do it.
Just washed our hair."
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the next time I asked him, I think I was preaching, and I said, "We'll throw in lunch." And it was something like that strained smile of, "I think we're going to be flipping our fingernails that weekend." It was just very clear, stop asking. So we did. And, you know, we would interact with them from time to time in the cul-de-sac. He had a heart attack at one point, and John visited him in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She had breast cancer. Everything turned out fine. We brought meals over. But one spring day, I was out in the front yard, and he came over quite rapidly, and he said, "Hey, when are your church services this weekend?" I thought, what is going on? And I told him, and they were very excited to join us because at their school, because they were so committed to being great teachers, they worked with a teacher's aide. And they loved this teacher's aide. She was almost like part of their family. She was a single mom with three kids. And we all know what income teacher's aides make. She would get her kids ready for school in the morning and drop them off at a neighbor's while she took two buses to school to do her job with our neighbors. And one day she came into their schoolroom, or their classes, and brought them together and said, "You're never going to believe what happened. But this church that I don't even go to found out my story and gave me a van, a car for my kids so that I could drive them around, and they gave me a car." And as our neighbors listened to the story, they looked at each other and said, "I think that's the church that our neighbors keep inviting us to." And it was because we had in our church something called a CARS ministry. And it started 10 years before we got there, when a guy came to the church for 18 months. His life had fallen apart. His wife had left him with their kids. He had lost his job. He was addicted to alcohol and drugs. And he came to church because he was at the end of his rope, which is where Dallas says is God's address. And he started coming to church. And after 18 months, he put his faith in Jesus and he cornered our senior pastor and said, "Hey, I just found Christ in this church. I'm so full. I want to give back. He's changed my life and I can't preach. I can't sing. I'm a mechanic." And he said to our senior pastor, "I notice in the parking lot that there are a lot of people that go to your church that are rich people because they drive really nice cars. But there's also a lot of poor people. And I notice because of the kind of cars they drive. And 8 out of the 10 people that get out of these poor cars are single moms. Every once in a while, the car is in such bad shape, I'll go under and look at the engine while they're in the church." And the senior pastor's like, "Oh my gosh, this is not going to end well." And then he said this very simply, because in his naivete, he didn't know. He just said, "Hey, next time you get up to preach, why don't you tell the rich people that when they are ready to get a new car, they don't need the resale value. Donate the car to the church. I'll take it to auction. I'll get 3 other cars, fix them up. I'll get other people like me that are good at this, and we'll start giving these cars away to single moms." Our small group services found out about it. A bunch of the small groups said, "We'll throw in gift certificates for gas cards and car washes and fast food places." And I think when we left, the cars ministry had given away over 200 cars to single moms that intersected our neighbors who weren't responding to our invitation as pastors to come to church. But when somebody that they loved got a car, they started coming. They became Christ followers. I remember the first time I was up on the platform and they were ushers passing the offering plates. And you just never know how a story like that, this man who was desperate, found Christ and then just said, "I'm so full, I have to pour out."
Yeah, no, and I love that word fullness. And when Paul writes, one of his favorite words, it will get translated like abundance or increase or fullness. And so much of that is, do I live with a mindset of scarcity? Man, I don't think there's going to be enough. I told
Me Nance, first.
I was talking with my friend Mike last week, and he was just saying he's involved in really, really good stuff with his life. But it's like he's just not living in financial anxiety. And he's not like a wealthy guy. But it's just this real clear sense of God has given me so much. And I'm not worried about the future. So what I can give is what really motivates me. And I know when I get to the end of my life, that's what I'm going to look back on and think, I'm so glad I did that. Nobody on their deathbed wishes they had hoarded more possessions. So living with that mindset of, yes, God has filled me up, I think enables people to be able to give like that. What do you find for you? What helps you when you walk through a day, think, "Oh, I want to share today"?
Well, many days I don't. And then sometimes the disappointment in myself motivates me to do it differently. Sometimes I'm very content to have not shared with somebody else, just to be fully honest. But on the days when I do, it's remembering stories like this. It's remembering this guy who, I love the way he said it, "I can't preach and I can't sing. What can I do? I'm a mechanic. I can help people." And then I think, again, we've said this before, because we're created in the image of God, the joy that comes from it is just contagious. It's just unlike anything else you'll ever experience.
I think I asked Rick Blackman one time, I think for one of these shows, what's people's biggest regret? And he said, when people look back on their life, their biggest regret was selfishness. I didn't share. I could have. But then I asked them, how often do people come to you for a problem with their selfishness? Zero. So the number one regret is the least issue that people ask.
We're not looking for help.
So today is the day. It's just a real simple direction. Share. So I will have something. You will have something. It could be money. It could be time. It could be labor. It could be energy. It could be words. Whatever it is, just reflect a little bit today on God. You have given me so much. Here I am, and here I am with you.
And in doing that, isn't that how the church lives out the gospel, so that people can see they're They'll know we are Christians by their love.
Yep, yep. God so loved the world he gave. Yeah. So let the story be a giving story.
Thanks for joining us in Montana.
Hey, if you enjoyed that video, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any future teachings from John Ortberg here at Become New. My name's Tim, and I'm a part of the team here. This series is all about stories. Everybody has a story, and everybody's story matters. And we want to know about your story, whether it's a story of coming to faith or a story of spiritual growth. Whatever it is, we're here for you. You can email that to us at connect@becomenew.com, or you can text it to us. You can also sign up for daily reminders whenever we drop a new video via text by texting the word become to the number 855-888-0444. You can also send us prayer requests there. There's a team of us that meet to pray each weekday for viewers just like yourself. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each video, be sure to check that out at becomenew.com/subscribe. More than a video to watch, this is really a community to belong to, and we're so glad that you're a part of it. We'll catch you next time.